Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for once again gathering with face coverings, everybody else. For those who don't know, the leader of the service allowed to proceed without a face covering and those reading and so on. So with Josie, will do a reading in a moment, and so we can hear the word clearly, she'll be taking hers off. But thank you for wearing them. Thank you also for answering such deep personal questions by my wife when at the door. Have you got any COVID symptoms? It's what we're supposed to ask. And so Leslie will now become an expert on the health of our congregation, which is really good. Before we go any further, let's light this candle, just reminding us that whenever two or three are gathered, there am I with them, Jesus says. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are here because you choose to presence yourself with your people. We pray that you will make yourself known to us and your love will produce in us that response of love. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. Just a notice, a really important one. Rowena has offered to take our primary school children up to room one for during the time of the sermon next week as a trial. We've not done that. As you know, the children have been here all the time with us if they've been here. So just during the sermon, we'll have an activity, and just so that it's something different, where Rowena and others can engage with the children in the activity. We're going to trial that with socially distanced tables and so on. We do need someone else who's DBS checked either already or will become so to go with Rowena on this occasion. So even if you've never done work with the children before, that's not a barrier. So if you think, yes, I'd like to do that, we can get you DBS checked, the formal process. So that's a very straightforward thing to do. But we want to just draw something out of the children when they're coming. And in some ways, when they gather together doing an activity, you can do that a little bit more than necessarily when they're sat in different places. So a first chance to do that, if you think, yes, I'd like to help, either next week or on future occasions, do come and see me or speak to Rowena. So, in an ever-changing world with ever-changing rules governing how we live, we meet to worship the one who is unchanging, who is faithful and true. Jesus is our Creator and Lord. This is what it says in Colossians, one of the letters in the New Testament. Talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I'd written that down before I received Mark's Keeping in Touch, and I had a look at it. And I wondered why we were being led to start today thinking about God is our Creator. Jesus is our Creator. And there it is under the Care Prayer Diary and Keeping in Touch, Sunday the 4th, World Animal Day. Creator God, we praise you for the rich variety and beauty of the animal world. We cannot count the millions of species and those yet to be discovered. Please prosper every initiative that preserves, protects, and cares for these precious creatures. Amen. And you think, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing, doesn't he? because he's drawn everything together. And we're going to start this morning with a wonderful video, which again has the words on it. You can stand and speak the words. We can't sing, but we can speak. We can hum. You can use your bodies in worship. You can allow God to use the scenes that you will see to express love in your hearts to him. And after the video is finished, as we always do, we'll just have that time afterwards where you can respond, whether in silence, lost in wonder, love and praise. This is a time to know our Creator and to worship him. We can have that video, please.
Praise you, Lord, for the wonders of your creation.
Father, from the robin that comes into the garden to the magnificent animals under the sea, we just praise and thank you for the beauty of your creation.
How majestic is your name in all the earth. We worship you, our Creator God, for all that you have made.
Thank you that my mother is.
I hope that
she knows. I can't
see her.
My friends will.
Our Heavenly Father, Creator God, we thank you for all those pictures we have just seen. Mm-hmm. And we want to put the people into the Bible who said, open your eyes. We want to see
yes. That's right. Yes.
To open their spiritual eyes
yes, Lord.
And believe that there is a God creator
yes, Lord.
And that he sent his son Jesus
yes.
to save us from our sins.
Thank you, Lord
Lord,
Jesus.
We thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, we thank you for the delicate snowdrop to herald the start of the new year.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that you love us and everything we've seen shows how beautiful you are and how majestic and powerful you are in amazing big ways and those tiny small ways. We thank you, Lord, that you hold everything together. Jesus, it was all from you, and in you all things hold together. We pray indeed that we may play our part in maintaining this delicate balance. But above all, we want people to know that it is from you it came, and it is from you that it exists, that you are the source. We pray indeed that you will open people's eyes as they look at the world around them. They will see you. You have not left yourself without testimony, without a witness. The stars, the skies shout, the Lord is good and the Lord is beautiful. Amen. Amen. So we've been going through the book of Acts, and last time we looked at Acts book, it was chapter 13. We heard how the Holy Spirit had said that Barnabas and Saul, who was also called Paul, should be set apart for the work that he called them to, which was preaching the gospel to the people in Cyprus and parts of Turkey. They encountered opposition there from people who were jealous of them and wanted to retain control over others. And the chapter finishes with the apostles leaving Pisidian Antioch after they've been there for some time with this wonderful phrase, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So that's where we left it. So what next? Josie's going to read chapter 14 so we know what's coming next.
So we're in Acts chapter 14, page 1109. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform wonders, signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to ill-treat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at them and saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city, to the city's gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with the plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to their faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they went into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia they sailed back to Antioch, and there they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Josie. So the apostles, not the 12, because Barnabas is named as one of these, the apostles, the term means sent ones, what we probably say is called missionaries. They first go to Iconium. They go as usual to the synagogue first, and they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. They preached the word. And as we heard last time we looked at Acts, it's all about the word of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Miraculous signs and wonders confirmed the message of grace. It's a lovely description, isn't it, of what we're about. When we've said in the front of our church, holding out the word of life, it's about the message of grace. But what's Iconium like as a place? Well, the people of the city were divided. A great number of people believed, but there were equally those who refused to believe and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles, the non-Jews. To start with, the opposition just fired up Barnabas and Saul, and so they spent a considerable time there. I thought it was really good. It was probably about a year or more, but it's a considerable time. Right, there's great opposition, so we're staying put. I think that's really great. But eventually, a plot was formulated to ill-treat them and stone them, which was the way that, in the law, that's the way that the community dealt with those who broke God's law. You stone them. So it was a corporate responsibility, not one person, everybody joining in. And that's what they were planning. The apostles found out about it, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe. Whenever I do that, I think I can't stop saying Derby, but I'll try and say Derby, and then we won't be thinking we're in the Midlands somewhere. And they've continued to preach the good news. Different places, but the same mission. Now in Lystra, alongside the preaching of the good news, they healed a man lame from birth. I think this story is amazing. The people's response to the miracle was to try and worship Barnabas and Saul as gods who'd come to earth, to offer sacrifices to them. You can imagine, can't you, the priest of Zeus in the temple to Zeus. Hold on a moment, your god's just come down to earth. I better get there. This is the moment I've been waiting for. I've been here all my life offering sacrifices, and now God has turned up. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. But the apostles managed somehow to stop them. It says in there, doesn't it, they spoke in their own language. I don't know if Paul and Barnabas spoke their language. It may have taken a while for them to realize what was going on. But eventually, by tearing their clothes, they made it clear, don't do it. But the next moment, the crowd is won over by the Jews from Antioch and Iconium, where Paul and Barnabas have just come from, and they stone Paul and drag him outside the city. Fickle or what? One moment they think you're gods, the next moment they want to kill you. It's mob rule, isn't it? Before we go on to Derby, I thought there's something really interesting, and it always shows why you have to read the whole chapter and take your time. And that's why we're deliberately, when we're reading the scripture, we're reading the whole chapter where we can. Because we haven't got anything else to do on a Sunday morning, have we? Other than read God's word. I mean, what could be better than doing that? But too often we could just have a verse or two, and you get the wrong picture if you just have a verse or two. But what is right in the middle of the story of Iconium that matches, links in with what we've already done this morning? Those who've got your Bibles open, have a look. What is it, right in the middle of what we've just read, that tells us? It says, why are you doing this? Why are you trying to offer sacrifices to us? We are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who did what? Who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. I was looking at this morning. I completely missed this verse. I'd read the chapter. I prepared my sermon. I got my message. And then God emphasized the fact we're looking at creation, which is why we've got our creation pictures there. And we've got the care diary focusing on creation. And there is right in the middle. He has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heavens and crops in their seasons. What was last week? Harvest. For the most wonderful display I've ever seen. It was fantastic. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. That's what harvest time is all about. Food and drink. Full with joy. Celebration time. So right in the middle of this wonderful series of escapades in Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, there it is. If you're connecting with people who do not know anything about the prophets and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, nothing about that at all, because we're dealing with Gentiles, how do you talk about who you're talking about? It's the God who made heaven and earth and everything and you. If we are talking about God with all the gods there are around, how do we actually identify what we're talking about, the God? The only way you can do it, actually, is talk about the Creator. No other, it doesn't work any other way. It's the one thing that people can identify with. The one who made everything you see and made you. That's the one we're talking about. That's a bit of a deviation, but on the other hand, it's actually the central point of everything. So, next we go to Derby. The next day. They preached the good news and have won a large number of disciples. I've just read I made a mistake. That business was in Lystra, wasn't it? That was in Lystra. Sorry about that. Iconium, they didn't get stoned, but Lystra they did. And that's where they'd said about the creation. So that was Lystra. But in Derbe, they won a large number of disciples. I think it's amazing, isn't it? Paul, has just got stoned. And they all thought he was dead. So I think he was obviously in a rather bad way. He gets up, and then he goes on to the next place and says, okay, let's do it all over again. You would have thought the Lord would have given Paul a little more rest after being stoned. But he didn't. Now, there are no reports of any trouble in Derbe. So if I were Paul and Barnabas, I would have thought, okay, this is good. We've got no opposition. An open door. Let's stay here a considerable time. But no, they move on. The apostles go back to where they've been opposed. Lystra and Iconium. They go back to where they've been threatened. They go back to where they've been stoned. To strengthen the disciples and encourage them to remain true to their faith. They appointed and anointed, prayed and fasted for elders to look after each and every church. Only after they've done this, do they go back to their mission base at Antioch, Syria, where they stayed a long time with their disciples. Can you see this is the Holy Spirit's strategy for the building of the church? He establishes a secure base in Antioch, Syria. Why he chose that, we don't know. But that was the place he chose. He set that apart as the mission base. And then he sets apart and sends out apostles, sent ones, missionaries, to spread out and evangelize the region. They establish and secure well-led churches in each of the places. Preaching the gospel and then going back, making sure they're all right and securing them. So that was 2,000 years ago. the world is a very different place now. So what do we learn for this church in this place in autumn 2020? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit still has a strategy. Would you agree?
Yes.
He knows what he's doing. He still has a plan. He knew that the famine was coming. And he inspired a prophetic warning that it was going to come upon the entire Roman world. So we heard about that a few chapters ago in Acts. So the Holy Spirit, do you think he knew COVID-19 was coming? That it would be a pandemic, it would affect every nation. And so he has a strategy for his church to fulfill in the midst of COVID-19, to spread the word of the Lord. It hasn't gone on hold, hasn't caught him by surprise. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. Right, we'll do nothing for a year until a vaccine's reached everybody. He knew this was coming. Paul, in Ephesians 4:11 and 12, says, Jesus gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so the whole body may be built up in the unity of the faith. Jesus still gives us these gifts. He gives us people to build up the body. Pastors train other people to be pastors. Teachers train other people to be teachers. Apostles, sent ones, train other people to be sent ones. He uses every member of the body. That means each one of us, to do works of service. Those gifts were given by Jesus specifically to prepare his people for works of service. If you're one of the Lord's people, if you have been born again as a child of God through putting your faith in Jesus, then you have work to do. Who fancies a lie down for the rest of their Christian life and ooze into heaven? Yes, yeah, feel free to put your hand up, but no. That's not the way it's planned. You have work to do for the Lord. Who is being sent? What's your role? Have you said to the Lord, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? It's a very dangerous thing to say, but it's the only way to live. If you've not said it, if you've sat on the sidelines, then that's why you're miserable. Come into the middle and say, "Lord, okay, send me." Where is the front line? You're being sent to the front line. In World War I times, that was not good news, because you probably weren't going to come back. The good news for us is we can go to our front line. Jesus will be there, and it just takes us further on in the kingdom. Is your front line at work? Is that where God has sent you? Have we got missionaries in the workplace, in school, care homes? Is your front line at home, where people actually come to you? Josie always encourages us to pray for Renee, our oldest church member, I think now, who is at home. She cannot go out. Where's her front line? Her chair, her bed. People come to her. She can point them to the God who created the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. Many of us are wary, afraid, reluctant to witness to the Lord on our front line. We may think we're not good enough, we don't know enough, we're not that sort of person. But all of us can point to the one who made the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything one in. Leslie reminded me of a story with our daughter Maria, who at middle school, she was a bit of a terror. She was just full of it. And some could cope and some couldn't. Don't know where she got it from. And And she was just alive. And one day in science class, the headmaster, the acting headmaster, was talking about how we came about through evolution and everything else. And said, no! She told the headmaster, no! God. Was it primary school? Even worse. Primary school. She said, no. God made us. We could have lots of chats and debates as how he did it. I've got views and you've got views. But the point is, Scripture tells us in no uncertain terms, by faith we know he created us out of nothing. He did it. So if a 7-year-old, 8-year-old can stand up to the headmaster, what are we afraid of? We must ask the Holy Spirit to give us boldness and power to tell people they can know their Creator. And we can pray, that prayer that Betty prays, absolutely right. Open their eyes to see. And the Word of God opens people's eyes. That's why we give out New Testaments. That's why we give out Bibles. That's why we give Christmas cards that have texts in them. You know, whatever it is, whether it's your story leaflet, your story of how you believe in the God who made you, and you know him. It's an amazing thing to know your Creator. And by grace we do. You might even be sent somewhere else. A lady came to an Alpha course who ran in a previous church. She came back to faith. I thought, great, someone you know, really good in the church. And then she went. She went from Dorset to Cambridge. She'd come to faith, come back to faith. Her relationship with God was reestablished. And God said, right, boom, off you go. Where are we being sent? Some of the people that we have here in the congregation won't be here in a year's time. God is sending them somewhere else. We're so pleased to see Charlie here, and Charlie can't see us, but we've got big smiles on our faces, Charlie, that you're here. And Charlie is being sent as an apostle, a sent one, a missionary, to Worcester. And we pray blessing on you, Charlie, as you confess your faith and you argue and debate. And Charlie's always saying, how do I get this over to someone about Christianity? How do I get this on about God? How can I answer this question? She's always wanted, she's really tested me. She said, how can I get across to others the message of the gospel? I would love 20 more Charlies who come up to me after the service every Sunday. Right, I've got this person, how do I, wouldn't it be great? So I'm just saying this to wake you all up. Okay, let's not fall asleep. Remember that word? The time is short, but there is sufficient time. So let's do it while we have the opportunity. The Great Commission that Jesus gave his disciples, and David's going to be preaching on this in a few weeks' time, and I have a feeling we may well come back to it for next year. The Great Commission Jesus gave his disciples was to go to all people groups, not just nations, but all people groups, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. That commission has never been rescinded. It's never been, oh, it doesn't apply anymore. It's still there. So I'm not going to point the finger at you because it's not a good thing. Let God point the finger at you. You, each one of you, me, we're to go wherever he tells us and make disciples. I believe, as we are coming towards the end of this year, coming to Christmas and January 2021, that the time of rebuilding is now coming. This time right now is preparation for that rebuilding. We need to use spiritual disciplines to worship, to be close to the Lord. Whether that's time alone, in your own room, going out for a walk, reading books, reading the Bible, coming here, whatever helps you to be close with God, Do it. Discipline yourself to do it. And also, by his Holy Spirit, he is binding us together. He is strengthening our relationships with one another and with other churches. All sorts of things are going on to bring the body of Christ together. That is preparation for what's coming next year. And I wonder, and you could go home and think about this. This is your homework today, to ponder on what the Holy Spirit is doing. What is his strategy here and now for us? Is Paignton to be like Antioch, a secure base from which missionaries will be sent out? We've said to many people that Torbay, and Torquay in particular, seems to be a place where people have gone out from. Lots of Christian ministries have been based here. When we had our guy from Azerbaijan that came here, his name's just suddenly gone from my brain. Someone will shout it out in a moment. But the, what's his name? He stayed with us. Gone. Elner, that's right. Elner's ministry, he lives in London. But through David Coffey of Upton Vale and Brunel Manor's conference, a major base for the work of in the Turkic belt of nations, Iran, Turkey, Azerbaijan, the Turkic-speaking nations. A major base of that work is here, London, and Norway. That's the other people who've got involved in helping him. Isn't it amazing? God chooses somebody in Norway, say, right, you are going to be a major support and resource and base for sending evangelists into Iran and Turkey. Who's to argue with the Holy Spirit's strategy? So, is a Paignton to be like Antioch, a base from which missionaries go out? Or is Paignton more like Iconium, a divided place, a place of conflict, a difficult place to be a believer, vulnerable to ill treatment and opposition, but also where a great number of people will believe, and miraculous signs and wonders will be done by the Holy Spirit through disciples to confirm the message of grace? Are we going to be like Iconium? Or are we going to be a place like Lystra? A place of healing miracles where people love us when everything's going fine, but can quickly change when persuasive people win the crowd over. Lystra, the place where we need to, if we're to be like that, we call people to worship the living God who made them, not false gods. So are we like Lystra? Or are we going to be another Derby? A town where a large number of disciples will be won. We can't choose to be received well like they did in Derby. Okay, that's it. We fancy being a Derby. Received well, no problems, no opposition, great. We can't choose that. We can't avoid opposition like Iconium. Our call is to be the body of Christ in this place, faithfully preaching the word in this place, performing signs and wonders in this place, for which the Holy Spirit gives us faith and power. We might be treated like gods that have come down from heaven. That'd be good. Would that be good? No. Not at all. No one on a pedestal here. Or we might be treated like the scum of the earth. Neither are true. Whatever our context, however it turns out, these things will be true. Four things. We must go through hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Two, we need elders, overseers to shepherd the flock appointed with prayer and fasting. We will need new leaders in the new year. Start praying now for who God wants to lead us. Thirdly, the word of the Lord must be preached to everyone, making disciples, everyone involved. Not one of the believers here is exempt. And fourthly, God will confirm the message of grace with signs and wonders through us. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't say, not me, not here. If the Lord wants to perform signs and wonders to confirm the message of the gospel, who are we to argue and say no? Do you want your neighbours saved? What if signs and wonders need to happen for your neighbours to be saved? See what I mean? For too long, the church has said, oh, we'll have that, but we won't have that. We do not have the right to tell God how he wants to preach the gospel. Oh, sorry, I got a bit cross there. But we've done it, haven't we? We have been very selective. Forgive us, Lord. Let's do what God says and let him sort out what happens in what way, and what type of town we will be. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to keep believing in you and trusting in you, whatever happens. Holy Spirit, give us power to preach the message of grace. And Lord, we do ask, Father God, as those early Christians asked at the very beginning of the church, stretch out your hands to perform signs and wonders through your Son, your anointed one, Jesus Christ, that people may put their faith in you. Lord, help us to be bold to share your story and our story, to minister your grace to others. Amen. We need encouragement when we're facing opposition, and this next song has memories for me going back of an amazing night in Swanage where God just took this song and took us, and we were there in God's presence, and it was just, I could have spent the rest of my life on earth in that particular meeting at that time. And our reading this morning Daily Bread actually confirmed this, a story that some of you will know from the Old Testament where Elisha prayed the Lord would open the eyes of his servant. Interesting again, open the eyes of his servant to see that all the forces arrayed against them in the human context could not compare to the forces that were already surrounding them and protecting them. So as you think about this song, as we sing this song, remember the Lord is encamped around us and we need not fear. We have an opportunity now just in a short time to pray for those who live in the towns of opposition. There are many who have those against them seeking to ill-treat them and stone them, kill them for their faith. Looking at the Christian Solidarity Worldwide magazine, which is a wonderful term for a charity, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, standing with brothers and sisters across the world. They focused on China, Iran, Cuba, Mexico, Nigeria. Each of those places, many of our brothers and sisters are in places where they face great opposition. We are in Derby, really. Are we not? We don't have much strife at all in human opposition. Lots of enemy opposition, but not human. We are in the place of little opposition. But we can stand and pray for those who are in very different places. So either one of those countries or another place you know of, or maybe an individual who is facing direct opposition, maybe here or somewhere else. Let's pray strength and protection for all our brothers and sisters in those places where they are being opposed.
Pray for our brothers and sisters in North Korea.
Yeah, yeah.
And we pray that in the difficulties they face, the hardship they may face, they may sense you standing alongside them and be conscious that people in other lands far away are praying for them. Mm. Will you encourage them, Lord?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
pray for brothers and sisters that have been accused of blasphemy and are in prison in Pakistan, facing death sentences.
Yes, sir.
We pray you'll strengthen and bless them, and may they be released according to your goodwill. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we pray for Ingrid and the work that she's doing in China, for the opposition that's keeping her out. And also, Father, we pray for some of the angels who's working in North Korea, trying to spread your word in a very, very hostile situation.
Yes, sir.
Father, we pray for Stephen Martin.
Amen.
Thank you. My mother has been to many countries.
We thank you that not one of our brothers and sisters is left alone. Greater is he that is in them than is in the world. Lord, we pray that you would give strength to those who are in places where you want them to spend a considerable time, despite the opposition. But also we pray that your people will know when it's time to go. They will hear your voice, not feel guilty, but move on to the next place. Lord, we pray for the leaders, particularly of the churches, the elders, the overseers, the pastors, the teachers, those who often are the focus of false accusations, of physical assault, of imprisonment. The world knows that if they can attack the shepherd, there's a danger that the sheep will be scattered. But Lord, we pray that that attempt will actually be turned on its head, and that every attack on a pastor, a teacher, an overseer, an elder will strengthen the church. They will get more behind them, more determined to support and love their leaders. We pray that in times of opposition, the church will be strengthened for the glory of your name. Amen. We're finishing our service now with a hymn that says, no matter what is going on, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We've put our lives in the hands of Jesus. We've put our faith in Jesus. And he says, yep, I'm holding on to it. I'm holding on to you until I come back. And in this uncertain, fearful world in which we are, this is again a story, a message that you can just give them a copy of this hymn to a neighbor or a friend. If you put your life in Jesus' hands, that's it. You are secure for eternity. Let's have this final hymn. A blessing from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.